weren't looking that direction, whatever reasons. But he even explains a little bit of that tonight as we go through this. But his focus basically in this chapter is how on the people of Israel basically rejected it, their response to it. And I think we're living in a day and age where we can see the negative response to the gospel message. And one of the things that bothered me is, you know, you see the news, you see in Turkey and Syria where the earthquake, they don't know how many thousands are still dead. I mean, it's up to over 7,000 people they're finding in the rubble, and they're hearing all kind of tremors and noise. They don't know where to go because they're afraid the buildings are going to fall that are already still standing. And then, so what does America have? They have the Emmy Awards where they're calling Satan to be a part of their Emmy Awards and had a seance in the stage. I mean, America is gone that we once knew as far as a God nation. And we're living in a day and age where I think Paul, some of what we'll see tonight is the same concept. And so when we study this, it's no wonder when we get into chapter 10, verse 16, Paul says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. And when Paul makes that statement, they have not all obeyed the Israelites, basically. But he obviously had in mind the Jews' failure to respond to the gospel. They didn't believe it. They didn't understand it. They didn't think it was going to be or the way God had it intended. But this concept of accepting in verse 16, basically, if they did not obey it, they didn't accept it. And you and I both know that that's the key. That is the key to the gates of heaven, accepting what God has done. Accepting Christ, and we saw last week in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it's accepting that Christ was the Messiah, accepting that he died, and accepting that God rose him from the dead. That's the salvation. That's what God said, that no one will see the Father but through me. That's the through me, the acceptance of those three things. So when Paul had said that, and that accepting thing, basically it means to hear with a positive response. The Greek word there, when it says in 16, have not obeyed, means they didn't hear with a positive response. They heard the gospel. So how many people do you know, or how many people do we see around us that have heard the gospel? They're not responding in a positive way. They're not obeying. They're not accepting. And so that whole concept of what Paul's trying to say, and he even brings it out in the what he's saying there, and the positive response came out of what he knew of from Isaiah. It says in the latter part of 16, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Paul was coming back and bringing back to mind the Old Testament scriptures when Isaiah said, who's going to believe us? Who believed us? Because Paul's speaking to a group of people who didn't. And so in understanding that and knowing that, basically the good news was true just as much in Isaiah's day as it was in Christ's day. And we know that from John 12, 37 and 41. They rejected it. They rejected him. They rejected the message. And as I studied through this, I thought, you know, for Paul to be able to write this to the group of people that he did, the Jews and the Gentiles, and explaining the gracious gift of righteousness or the right way to heaven, and then them rejecting it, and then looking in our world, I can't help but think that some of what Paul is saying here is the same concept. They just not all, speaking of the Israelites, but that all is very, very prevalent for today because many people have heard it. Many people know, but not all believe. Not all are going to accept it. And so I think as we study through this and understand that, I think it really fits in our world today as Paul is teaching this, because it's responding to the gospel among the Gentiles is also far less accepted today than it ever has been, I think. And I just add this in now. Many of you know Pastor Fry. He was my former pastor. He was growing up. He was the pastor I had. And he passed away yesterday. And boy, I tell you what, he's a 65 people went into full-time ministry under his tender of ministry. And I'm like, man, that's unbelievable, isn't it? But then I go back into the air or to the time frame that he was preaching. And there were people who wanted to go into full-time ministry. God was calling people into ministry left and right. God was calling people, and it wasn't just that church. It was all over. And yet today, pulpits are being emptied because no young generation, no young people want to go into full-time ministry today. There's empty pulpits everywhere. And I only know that because I was talking, I think I mentioned talking to Barry Webb about it and about, you know, the assistant pastor. We're, you know, going out, seeking out, trying to see if we can pursue that a little bit further and further as we plan for that. And he said, good luck. He said, my home church, the church that supports Barry Webb in Maryland, has been looking for an assistant pastor for years. And they can't find anybody. Nobody wants to go into ministry today. And I'm like, wow, who's going to tell them? Who's going to preach the word to them? Nobody wants to take into the positions. And that's scary, but that's the world we're living in. And the world was getting less and less. People are getting less and less involved and wanting to be involved in ministry. And so with all that being said, we find Paul saying again in verse 16, For who hath believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Who's going to tell them? If hearing the word of God allows them to believe the word of God, the faith comes from hearing the message or hearing the word of God. And boy, if there is not people that are willing to go into ministry, to go into to teaching and preaching the word of God, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. And honestly, I mean, just look around here tonight. 5-10 years, there'll be no 15-20. I'll give you all a little bit extra. 30, oh man. I'll be 90 by 30. Anyway, you know, the younger generation have been so duped by Satan that this isn't important. In all my life and all your life, you know, prayer meeting is probably the least attended service of any church. And yet it's the power of the ministry. And that's just the way it always has been. So we're living in a day and age where Paul is saying here to the Jews and to the Gentiles, you're not getting it. You're not accepting it. It's only going to lead to trouble. And I think we're living some of that trouble today. That we're finding some more and more issues going on through all of that. So verse 17 is very clear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why then are so many pulpits preaching so many other things than the word of God? Why is it more of an entertaining than the preaching of the word of God? Well, you can hear we sing, as a deer pants for the water. That's scriptural. We can sing that scripture, right? Absolutely, you can sing the scripture. But there's more to it than just gathering and singing. And oh yeah, we'll have a 15-minute devotional. If preaching the word of God is the only way that they hear it, the only way that they believe, that's what we need to be doing. We need to continue preaching and teaching the word of God. And that's just not in here. That's out there everywhere we go. And so to me, it's very clear that that's the one thing that we see our world stopping is the one thing that's going to make the difference. It's not an election. It's not praying to God to do something. God said, I already did. God, I said, I sent my son to die. What else do you want me to do for you? And I say that very carefully because he could do a lot. God changes the heart of the people. But faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. If the word of God is not lived, if the word of God is not talked about, the word of God is not in your conversations, then the people will never know. And yet Paul carries that a little bit further because he's going to ask a couple questions here as we finish this out. And these two questions are quite interesting because the first question he says in verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? So that question alone is quite interesting, because when Paul is saying that, some however might insist that the Jews were not given adequate opportunity to hear the message. And that's something I've heard a lot in my life, you know, about the missions, and, you know, God is never going to come back until everybody has had a chance to hear. You know, I can't find that preached in the scriptures. And we'll see as we go through this. Because God is saying, through Paul is here, he's saying, you know, did they not hear? In verse 18, again, have they not heard? And so when Paul quotes this, he's quoting from Psalm 19:4. And Psalm 19:4, basically concerning God's general revelation. You see, God has a general revelation, and he has a specific or a special revelation. And God's general revelation, and we need to understand this, we talked about it all the way back into Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. God's general revelation says no man, and back in Romans 1, no man is without excuse because of what God has done through creation, because what God has already given us through creation, everyone that is ever born should know that there is something greater, something better, something out there that has created all of this. Why do you think the other side wants us to believe so badly in evolution? Why do you think they want it? The school has been so pounded in teaching the theory, everything except the creation theory, because they're trying to get it out of the play. They're trying to destroy it, because that's the general revelation of Christ, of God. In a general sense, because people can look at the sunrises and the sunsets and the beauties and see all that things, and then they think there has to be a God. God gave that, Romans 1, 18 through 20. He told them, no one's without excuse because of that. So the general revelation they're trying to get rid of, and Paul is saying, have they heard? But he answers that in verse 18, saying, yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. And that's what he's saying. Yes, they've heard. They've heard it over and over again, because they've seen the creation of what God has done. They see how he is sustaining the world, how he is allowing all this to happen. And for all the hundreds of years that they've been trying to prove the evolution. That's not the right, that's the rock group. Anyway, how things evolved and how the Big Bang Theory and how all that stuff is supposed to be, they've yet to prove it. It's all a theory. It's not science. It's not provable science. They go so far and then it's a theory. And so, again, anything that's against God is evil. Evil has always tried to destroy the name and the plan of God. And that's all part of it. And yet we have it everywhere in our world, very prominent in our world. So the general revelation is the one way. And Paul explains that and simply says that they've been given ample, obvious to the question is they've had ample opportunity in the general. And so verse 19 is the next question. But I say, did Israel know? And again, the second question deals with Israel, goes all the way back to Moses. And he says, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by the foolish nations I will anger you. And basically what he's saying there, and again, he asked the same question, did they know? And the answer again is yes, from the Old Testament. Moses and Isaiah both, in them two verses, stated, yeah, Israel should have known. Israel should have known. Because Israel not only should have known in the general revelation, where all they need to see is what God has done, but they were also part of God calling them out, the nation to be of his own, the special revelation. They had two opportunities to know what Paul was trying to teach, that God is the God, God is sustaining, and if God says, this is the way I am now going to do it, they rejected it. But yet they had plenty of ample time to understand it. So you and I today, we go out there and we see the world. We can explain, you know, that God exists because of, and the general revelation is there still today. The special revelation, I think, is what he's going to get into the chapter 11, and that's going to be talking about the election. It's going to be talking about those who God knew or know will accept him. And so they're going to be given a special revelation. They're going to be given, in 2 Corinthians 4, the blinders that Satan has put on, God is going to remove. And they're going to get a second or a special revelation of an understanding that we need Christ. And so at that point in time, that's when you accept Christ. That's when you don't reject him. And so when we understand this, again, and I think Paul's painting this very clearly before he gets into that election, because the election is, boy, today we've really made it a mess. Because when you say the word election, goodness gracious, all the fireworks go off and the bells and whistles and people argue and people demand. And it's like, wait a minute. You got to understand chapter 10 before you can get into chapter 11. And Paul's explaining it very clearly. In verse 17 and 18, and then all, faith cometh by hearing. Did they have a chance? Absolutely. They had general revelation. Did they not have a better chance? Absolutely. Verse 19. They had the special revelation as they were called out of all the other nations, again, to be a part of God's plan. So when you look at this, and as Paul puts this into perspective and answers them, he answers them in a way of God writing, again, to both leaders, the Gentiles, who the Jews thought had no understanding, he gave it to the Gentiles. Jews never thought that a Gentile would ever understand, would never be a part of God's salvation. The Jews thought they were the only ones that were ever going to make it. Now, it doesn't say that God has left them or forsaken them or is not going to deal with them. And we know that from other scriptures, to know that God is not done with the nation of Israel. He is going to come back and he is going to bring them home to Jerusalem. But it's going to get ugly before that happens. And by God's mercy, you and I will be gone when it does. We won't be here. Like I said, Sunday, man, we're in training to reign. We're training to reign with Christ when we come back. And so when Paul speaks to them of this, and he says in verse 20, again, Isaiah. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them, asked not after me. And basically, what he is saying in verse 20 is, concerning Israel, is that God gave them the chance. Israel said the same thing. I didn't find any of them. They didn't ask for me. They rejected me. So again, he's speaking from Isaiah in verse 20. And that is Isaiah 65:1. Very important to realize, Paul, how many times, I'm telling you, when you study these scriptures, Christ, Paul, when they would combat against the Jews, they used the Old Testament. They used the truth of scripture to say, no, look what Moses said. No, look what Isaiah said. And so when they use the script, these are scriptures that these men should have known. So as we even talk Sunday, they had a knowledge of all this, but they had no wisdom in it. They didn't know how to apply the knowledge they have. And I'm afraid in our day and age today, I think Flora made the statement that our lights should shine brighter because our world's getting a lot darker. And it's easier to look better with very little more commitment to God. And that's dangerous, isn't it? That is dangerous. Because it doesn't take much for us to look better. It doesn't take much for us to be better because we have Christ. And we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be among them as the world is. We're not supposed to stand, sit, walk, counsel, Psalms 1. We're not supposed to do those things with the world. And so as it gets worse and worse and worse, we very easily could do nothing and be brighter in our light. But that's not how God set it up. Isaiah said in verse 20, Paul stated that no one sought after him, no one asked him. Verse 21, but Israel, he saith, all day long has stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gain-slaying people. I don't think that was a good compliment, you know? God is talking about his nation. God is talking about, at the same time, God was not withholding salvation from the Jews. He had held out his hand. He says very clearly to Israel, all day long, I, God, have stretched forth my hand. Come on. And it gives me this picture of God saying, listen, come on, come on. And Israel saying, no, no, no. And listen, I know people like that, and you know people like that. You try to share Christ with them, or you try to talk to God about them, or you try to encourage them to come on to get it, and it's, no, I'll think about it maybe tomorrow. I'll worry about it later. I've got time. No, there's no guarantee in any of that. And so when we look at, I think, what Paul, how Paul is ending this chapter 10, to the point that the major section of Romans 9 through 11, those three chapters are the chapters that really just very clearly state God's righteous gift, and you rejected them. The last chapter, or the last part of that, is when God's personal righteousness is provided for the people, basically for Israel and for all the other ones, Israel rejecting them, basically he'll restore them again. And so we're going to look into that next chapter starting next week. And again, it's an interesting one, because when Paul ends verse 21, he says in verse 1, I say then, have God cast away his people? God forbid. Listen, God cast away nobody. And that to me is encouraging, because you and I, again, and you've heard me say it many times, we need to get down on their ground. We need to go out among them. Because it doesn't matter what we look at. It doesn't matter how bad we see them. God never, ever cast anybody away. That comes to him in repentance and forgiveness. God says, okay, come on. And that vivid picture in my mind is one I want to try to pull out to you, to all of us tonight. No matter who you see in your journeys, picture God's hand out to them. As you walk by them, as you don't think they're worthy. And one of the problems, and we're going to be pushing this throughout this year, as I'm finalizing my vision and my not a vision, my thought process of going forward this year, is we truly need to see people differently. We need to see our God differently, and we need to see people differently. Because we need to see people as God sees them, valued, important, and worthy to die for. That's how God sees people. And even Israel that has rejected him, come on. Never give it. And he still is never going to give up on them. He's still going to bring them home. So to me, that's a valuable lesson that we can pull out of this, going into an understanding of what our part may be in the redemptive story and sharing it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the study. And God, I pray we continue to allow our hearts and our minds to just focus on what our part may be. And Lord, I pray as we do that, that you continue to encourage and continue to give us that wisdom that we need in any time and any moment that we need it. And God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen.